song, a book, and a dish.
On 702.
702, it's a part of the week that we look forward to all week. It's time for what we call a song, a book, and a dish. We get to spend time with somebody who you know. You kind of think you know, but you don't know everything about them. What we do is we ask them to pick a song, choose a book, and use a dish that maybe reveals something, not just about their tastes in food, but what meals are like. What's it like sitting around a table with them? It's been an incredibly intense few years of politics, but some people would say you ain't seen nothing yet as we head towards the 2024 elections. For that reason, we rely on independent and clear-thinking voices on radio. We hope we provide it to you here at 702, but also on television. Well, one of the people who's been doing that for a while now with great distinction at Newsroom Africa is Ziyanda Ngobo, and we're delighted to have her not only with us in the 702 studio, but back in one of your early journalism homes. Ziyanda, I was going to say, I normally say welcome. I could say welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Thank you so much, John. It feels feels amazing to be back here. Everything still feels the same and familiar. The people, it's great. Walking into the building was quite amazing. But the changes that are also here are quite fascinating. Upstairs is very pink, for an example, the fourth floor.
I shall have to take, on the fourth floor.
Yes.
I'll have to go and have a look. I haven't been experienced a pink assault. Let's talk about family. I mean, you grew up with three siblings, the youngest in that family. Your mom was a teacher, your dad a management consultant. Was there lots of politics spoken about in the home? Were you getting the bug early on from home, or did you get it somewhere else?
So I did get it from home. So my parents are divorced. Mm-hmm. And for the early part of my life, I grew up with my mother, and she's a teacher, as you've mentioned. So she was very big on reading, and especially even reading in isiZulu, because, you know, the former Model C schools sometimes had rules that said that we cannot speak English. Our mother language,
right.
And at school. So she insisted I used to read Isolezwe, Langa Langa Sonto, as a part of
good,
just
strong newspapers.
Strong
in
newspapers,
KZN,
yeah. So that was my foundation. But my father is also someone who's very big on politics. You know, I always tell people how I distinguish angling, how I learned angling, how I think I learned how to angle stories is the fact that my dad will watch, you know, the news on SABC.
Right.
At 7:30, and then he'd switch again to 4:04, which is still the SABC, but he'd say, no, izindaba o indaba at 7:30, the angle is very different because of the audience that they cater to versus, you know, 4:04. And so that for me, that piqued my interest. And I think it helps to have parents who don't talk to you like a child. I think my parents always engaged me at their level and vice versa. So there was never an instance where I felt belittled or that I can't engage on a particular topic. I know in our household when I was a teenager, when Mbeki was recalled, that was a hot topic in our household and how that moment came to be.
I want to ask you, I mean, in terms of school, were you then involved in debating? Did you look out for that? For that kind of thing in the class? I don't know if you were on your feet, your hand up regularly.
Yes, I was that child.
You were that one. Okay.
Yes, I was definitely
I think
that
to
child.
To some extent, I was that kid as well. But I mean, did you make it formal? Did you move for debating rather than drama, for example, or both?
I did both. So it's very interesting because I've always been an arts and culture type of child. So public speaking, debating, drama. In fact, I wanted to be an actress at some stage in my life. But I was always that child. My mother, because she's a teacher, and I think sometimes it's because when I'd come home and have homework, she didn't necessarily have the answers. She always used to say, ask your teacher. Why didn't you ask in class?
Yes.
Use the opportunity, you know, fully. That's what they're there for. So I was always inquisitive. I always used to ask a lot of questions. And that also helped me have
lots of eye rolling from the front and around you. Oh, there she goes again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, many times I'd be accused of being a teacher's pet. But interestingly, I also had good relations with my peers. So I became a prefect. I think the typical, you know, type of academic. When I was at Westville Girls, I was like the class representative.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
I want to ask you about food. So was it just you and your mom living together?
In Pinetown. For the most part. And so, then in my teens, I lived with my dad.
Okay. So mealtimes for two, maybe somebody else around from time to time. I guess you got to talk. Was it quick eats? We've got stuff to do. Or was there a kind of pause in family life to say, okay, now we sit, now we talk, phones off, TV off. Let's talk. How did your family do it?
I mean, with my mom, I think because it was just the two of us, there was a lot of talking anyway.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Because it was just us for most of the time. With my dad, it would have to be in the ride to school. So because he is a management consultant, he'd sometimes be busy. Our schedules would not align. Right. And especially in high school, I was very big on studying. So I had my own timetable. So yes, when there are opportunities to sit and eat Sundays, I must say, mm-hmm. was the day, to actually sit around the table and catch up, like what happened in your week. So I'm very big on Sundays as a result. Sundays are a sacred day to relax, you know, reflect on the week that's just happened, but also what do you want for the next week? And for me, when my dad used to take me to school, that would be the opportune time to catch up, find out what's happening in school, what do you want to do, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so somebody else can do the NEC Lechutla on a Sunday. That's your day. I want to ask you about food because you were not entirely specific. You just said you really like Italian food. So let me ask you this. If somebody said, oh, you make Italian food, what time shall I be there? And please give me the address. What Italian food do you make best?
I actually make a mean beef lasagna.
Okay.
Lots of cheese. So I love lots of cheese in my meals. And I think that's because, like you were asking, during the week, my mom would have to whip up quick meals, so macaroni and cheese. So, I mean, that's not necessarily Italian, but I'm just saying, you know, that kind of meal. But I generally enjoy a lot of you know, spaghetti bolognese. That for me is it. But I also like a lot of our traditional food, but that's not something you can cook every day. So you can't cook also every day, for an example, or istambu, which is sampan beans. So that's like a full day of cooking. But those are definitely some of the dishes that I enjoy to this day.
I'm jumping around a little bit, but we do live in a political world. I think it's fair to say that where the dominant figures are male South Africans, mm-hmm. as a woman political reporter, and I watched, for example, a really excellent interview you did in the build-up to Nasrec with Dr. William Kizan. And for people who didn't see it, Zianda was firm but extremely polite, and by polite I don't mean deferent, but it was the great balance. Is that something that you learned from your background and from your parents, or is it something you learned on the job, maybe with the odd bruise and burnt finger to emphasize the lesson?
All of the above. I think for me, I've always been big on being respectful. So that it has to do with how I was raised. Manner of approach is what my parents always emphasize. So you can raise an issue, but it's about how. It's not about the what, it's the how, right? And also because I'm Zulu and culturally also, sometimes you have to respect your elders. So that's been a difficult thing for me to straddle. Because in the professional space, I mean, you are Dr. Zweli Mkhize, you're not Baba, or you're not or whoever. But there's a way of doing it. And I think somebody who I also used to look to when I was still here at Prime Media was the late Xolani Gwala. He used to do that exceptionally
well.
He could be firm, but respectful and polite, but still not let the guest get away with nonsense, especially politicians. They'll always take chances. Always going to take chances, right? Yeah. So for me, I think it's been that, but also the odd, you know, burn and bruise. And I think it's much more difficult as a young black woman, I'd say, because there is an expectation that you should handle people in a certain way. One, because sometimes politicians have an important sense of self, but also, just like I'm saying, my background, like, oh, but you should know your Zulu, you know?
Yes, yes.
So for an example, when I interview the king, then the context, the AmaZulu king, the context becomes completely different. I have to be different in my manner of approach. And so it's all about balance, John, and it also depends on the issue. And it's also about the proverbial reading the room.
So I mean, from all of what you've just said, Zianda, you've had to be very thoughtful, or chosen, chosen to be very thoughtful. No surprise, perhaps, that one of the books you gave to, but I want to focus on one, Deepak Chopra, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, A Practical Guide to the Fulfillment of Your Dreams. What really struck me about this is it's pocket-sized.
Yes.
do you keep it in your pocket and every once in a while do a top-up? So tell us why this book. It's clearly important to you in more than one way.
And I came across this book when I was a teenager. Hey,
right.
And I mean, it's a book, like you've said, it's like a handbook. It's like a guide to how to live your life. And
yes.
I don't carry it around with me all the time because I feel like the teachings, it depends on what's happening in your life. And you say, oh, you know, I remember this. Deepak Chopra spoke about the law of detachment, which speaks about, you know, letting go so that the universe can also take over and guide you in terms of your next step. So that for me has been a book where I go back and refer to, but
yes.
Because it requires, I think, a certain mood, so sometimes maybe a pensive mood for you to reflect. I wouldn't necessarily carry it around. I'm always traveling all over the place for work, so it's not that kind of book, really, John.
keep multiple copies. Now, we asked you to choose a piece of music. And what you've chosen is a Bobby McFerrin piece. Jazz lovers will note that it's done with Russell Ferranti, great keyboardist with the Yellow Jackets. Freedom is a voice. You picked this, why?
My life is about that. My parents have always taught me to use my voice to feel free. My job requires me to give people a platform to speak their voice. And I think having a voice in this world and society is so empowering. And I just wish that everybody could have that.
Zianda Ngobo uses her voice and uses it well. I'm sure many of you would agree on that in her job reporting on Newsroom Africa. Let's enjoy Bobby McFerrin and Russell Ferranti. Zianda, thanks so much
thanks,
for
John.
Sharing with us your song, your book, and your dish.